travelers on the way to heaven.
And I really want to make it. And I really want to help you make it too. That's part of the job of part of the burden of ministers. Sometimes we talk about a burden we have on our heart, and sometimes it takes different ways of expressing it, but ultimately it boils down to this great desire we have. We want people to make heaven, and we ourselves want to make it. We're all just people here together, and the Lord Himself, our Heavenly Father, and I wish somehow that we could grasp how much He loves us. I know we hear these words that for God so loved the world, and we learn that so little, and it's a common verse, but that's full of meaning. For God did so love us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, oh, I love that whosoever included everybody, no matter race or creed or how deep you went in sin or whoever we are, at whatever place we found ourselves in life, He loved us enough to try to help us with life. When I was young, I seemed to really gravitate and enjoy the testimonies of people who they could tell me that they had went out in deep sin and the Lord turned them around. And I'm still glad for that. I'm very grateful. I don't want to diminish how much I appreciate that type of a testimony. But over the years, I've come to the place that I really appreciate the testimonies of those who say, the Lord got a hold of me when I was young. That means so much to me. The Lord got a hold of them when they were 8 years old. Is that what you said a while ago, sister? I love those testimonies. And then the Lord kept them throughout the years. That means a lot to me. And I thank the Lord. That's a great testimony to God's saving and keeping power. And I would much rather hear somebody say, the Lord kept me from all that deep sin and all the regret that I had, that other people have had and have kept me from. I'm so thankful for that. And God's able to. So I want to encourage you young ones. And whenever the Lord deals with your heart, yield to it. Because the Lord has a real desire to protect you from all the things that could be harmful and damaging to you. He wants you to have a good home, a good direction in life. He wants you to have a real well-rounded personality, not one that's damaged by sin. I know the Lord can save and clean up and help people with damaged emotions, damaged places. The Lord heals, but He would much rather keep you and protect you from that. So I want to encourage you, as young as you can feel the Lord's touch, as He begins to open up your mind and your understanding to your condition, come and bring that to the Lord and just give your whole life to Him. It's a great blessing. Again, we have a loving Heavenly Father. He has good things in store for you. I'd like for us to turn over into the book of Titus, the second chapter. God loves us enough that this word grace, it has a whole lot of, it's a wonderful thing. Remember Brother Humphrey, you say, it's a wonderful thing. Well, that's a fact. It's a wonderful thing that the Lord has provided for you and I this grace. This saving power, the ability to take you and I in our inadequacies. You know what that means? I'm not able to get there. There's things that I can't really face. I don't have the ability to get beyond this point. He knows where that is, and He has help for us. That we didn't merit, that we didn't work enough for to gain. But He has the ability to help you and I in our limitations. Not able to get there. He has the ability to come. If we yield ourselves to Him, He has the ability to help us to gain victories that we couldn't have gained any other way. He has salvation for us. None of us merited forgiveness. None of us merited, not a thing we could do to bridge the gulf that is between us and peace in our soul. Sin brings such a separation. God Himself looked on the great gulf that was fixed between mankind and our help, and of the place of this residing place of peace that God has for us in His arms. But there was a great separation between evil and holiness. And the Lord said, I know what I do. I give my own self. I give mine. The best that I have to offer. Without spot and blemish. And they're all stained. And they're, I see them cast out in their blood. I see them with no merit of their own. They have no way to pay back. But I love. And they're crying. Remember what God told Moses whenever he had a job. He said, I want you to go back and talk to Pharaoh. He said, I've heard the cry of my people. I've heard it. I want to tell you, the Lord's ear is still open to the hurting. And He still has devised a way for all whosoever will, that we might come in all of our hurt and our damage and our inability, that we can come and we can bring ourselves to Him through this door, this great humble door where we lay down and say, Lord, I'm so tired of who I've been. I'm so tired of that old way. And I need help. I'm weary. And I need Your deliverance. And the Lord takes people in that condition and He helps them beyond anything we could ever merit. Second chapter of Titus, the 11th verse says, for the grace of God that brings salvation. He has brought it here. Yesterday was the day we call Thanksgiving. And there's a whole lot of things we can thank. And I'm thankful here in America. There's many things that I'm very thankful for. And there's things that, yes, we're concerned about. And that's natural throughout the years. Every generation has had things they were concerned about. And rightly so. We should be burdened and pray for the surroundings that we're in. And work to change it. Work to affect our neighbors. Work to affect our government. Pray. That's part of what we do. We're the salt of the earth. We are part of we're the light. As Jesus said, He talked about in the Sermon on the Mount. He referred to us as being part of that light and part of the salt of this earth. And that's some of what we should do. But beyond that, God Himself has grace. There's salvation. There's something that He wants you and I to not only carry a burden for the things of this world, but He wants us to be, to portray that salvation, that work of that divine work of God in our hearts and in our lives. Here this verse says, for the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. And it didn't just appear. But what does it do? It's more than say, well, I recognize your limitations and you're always going to be just very limited people. Well, we do have our limitations, but you know, God has strength. God has help. The grace of God comes, and it doesn't just say, I forgive. It says, I want to teach you now. Let's read a little bit more. For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us. And woos us and calls us to a place that these other things that used to tempt me, that I used to give myself to, now I look on it differently than what I used to. It doesn't hold the same power over me. There's things that used to draw me aside, but there has been a love, there's been something captivated my attention and my desires that goes beyond the things of this world. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. These have drawn me. Things that are noble. There's a love of God that has portrayed something greater than who I used to be. The things that are base things in this world. And it calls me higher and says, come up, child. Come up into my arms. I've got a place for you. Teaching me that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Putting those things in the proper place. Recognizing them for what they truly are. They are poison. They're things that would damage us. Things that would leave a sting in our life. That would, that if we allow it to take up residence in our heart, the devil has a desire to cause it to break up homes, to break up my marriage. That would cause it to break up places in the unities of congregation. The devils would love to damage. So denying things that are ungodly. Well, what, do I need to define all that to you? I might miss some if I try to get busy defining what ungodliness is. But God wants us just to honestly, hungrily seek for Him. And through that avenue of us hungering after righteousness, that automatically reveals ungodliness. We don't have... Please don't ask me to be the one who takes your hand and tells you what to do and what not to do. That's not my job. God wants that place. God wants to be the one that takes you as His dear child and whet your appetite for good, your desire for right, and teach you and help you to enjoy what is good and the cleanness that it brings. The absence of guilt in our life. God Himself wants to develop these things in all of our hearts. And in doing so, the evil, the things that we need to push away, becomes evident as I walk with God. That's what the grace of God teaches us. Teaching us. As we pass along, as we grow in what? Grow in grace. And the knowledge of the Lord. This comes along with this. This understanding, this settled understanding, this place of security that we find in Christ. It's not in my own ability. If we try to get secure in my own standing, I'm going to muscle up here, I'm going to be strong. Be careful, because if you put confidence in the flesh, cursed is the man that puts confidence in flesh. He's going to be in trouble. Now that doesn't mean I don't have some responsibility to give of my will to the Lord. But I'm still limited. But there is a grace that helps beyond my ability. God comes to help you and I. And to teach and guide, empower, strengthen, and lead us in paths of righteousness for His very name's sake. I want to encourage us. This isn't a hard way. Sometimes we generationally start getting this idea that this is a difficult or a complicated way. And it's not. Love the Lord with all your heart. Invest yourself in Him. And when you get up every morning, say, Lord, I love You again today. And today, I really don't feel very special. I kind of feel black. You mean Christians can have that? Sometimes you wake up in the morning and you just don't feel very... You feel kind of down. I thought Christians were supposed to be... The joy of the Lord... And yes, it is. But some days we don't just feel on top of the world. But in that moment, the grace of God teaches us. The grace of God is still leading us. It's still working with us. And as we push and go through that, there's some stability. When I wake up in the morning, I still say, Lord, even beyond what I feel right now, Lord, it's the purpose of my heart today. I've resolved. It's come down to this. I still intend. I want to walk with You today, and I love You today. I want to serve You. Let me tell you also that in your marriage, you're going to have times that is all the good little feelings just not there that day. But love is beyond those moments. There's something that goes beyond the emotion and the stability of I've decided. I love and I care. And you cultivate this. And this is what God wants us to put in our life. The grace of God teaches us something. It gets down in our heart, down right where I live, and begin to teach me that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly and righteously and godly right where I am. In this present world, yes. And what that really takes in is every generation wherever you are. Every generation. And say, in this present world, surely that means this world, because we're really ungodly. And I won't argue with you, but it really makes no difference how ungodly the environment is we live in. God has the ability in my generation, my place that I find myself in. He has the ability. He teaches me that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we can live soberly, righteously, and godly no matter what the environment that I'm in. He has grace. His grace is what? My grace is... Let's turn over there. What is that? That's over in Corinthians, the... 13th chapter, isn't it? No, 12th, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. 9th verse of that 12th chapter says, my grace is sufficient for thee. Well, we want to get to there, but I want to put that in our minds right now. The grace of God has great sufficiency. He can empower and strengthen you and I if we're willing to let Him have that place in our heart. He is able to empower you and I to overcome things we didn't know we could. I believe it was the grace of God that empowered David to meet the giant. I believe it was the grace of God that caused the three Hebrew children to come to that place of great resolution that said, you can kill me, but I've given my life to the Lord, and it really makes no difference what you decide. My decision's over with. I want to tell you, in those moments when the world's watching you and your decisions, and if you choose to go through it with God, that's the times that they are greatest affected. The king who thought he was great, he thought he was the King of Kings. In fact, there's places he was described in the Scripture, Nebuchadnezzar, being a king of kings, king among kings. He himself came to the place, he said, I know there's somebody bigger than me now. I know it. At one time, and boldly, he said, what God can deliver you out of my hand? He found out there was. And he humbled down, said, there is a God. I know so. Looks like the form of the fourth looks like the Son of God. God wants you and I to learn of the grace and the magnitude of His grace and allow it to work in such a fashion in our life that when we are going through the deepest of struggles of life, that the people who are looking on, our neighbors who are watching with intent interest, and they peer into the fire, that they begin to see more than just a man in trouble. They begin to see the cords burning off of my life. And they start seeing the joy of the Lord in the midst of the trial. I like to think of those brethren in the midst of that fire. Do you think they was hunting the door to try to get out? I don't think. I think they were comfortable in there. They may have looked over their brother. I thought we was bound. Yeah, it's all gone. Feeling good. Oh, we got... I don't know who this is right here, but we feel such peace. And the world's looking on, and they're peering in into our troubles, and they see God. And it affects them. They didn't set out to show the world God. That's not their purpose. Their purpose was to serve the Lord. And the Lord Himself revealed Himself to others. God help us to be faithful. Over here in 2 Corinthians, while we're here, let's go ahead. Paul was dealing with this situation. 7th verse, I start out and said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation. The Lord had been blessing Paul, had given him much understanding and revelation. There's things the Lord revealed to him that was just wonderful. And as he got that revelation. He didn't want to just hoard it in himself. He was interested in others grasping it too. So the best of his ability, he tried to help other people understand what this really meant. Tied it to Scriptures. This understanding of what the grace of God had to do for these people today. Paul understood that the grace of God extended beyond just the Jewish nation, but to all mankind. And Paul preached that gospel freely to all. To the abundance of the revelation that was given him, there was a great confidence that came along with that. And also along with that, there comes a possibility and the temptation sometimes. For when the Lord has given such a great revelation, there comes a place that a person can fall into a trap of self-sufficiency. And God, knowing Brother Paul and caring enough and loving him enough, He allowed him, He saw all this, and perhaps he hadn't got there yet, but maybe he was headed down the road of a little bit of his ability to go ahead and present this, and how great, and it's wonderful that the Lord gave him this revelation. And thank the Lord for it when the Lord anoints you and gives you something special to share. Thank the Lord for it, but at the end of the day, you understand it came from God. Well, there comes a point in Paul's life. His was his testimony. He said, because the Lord didn't want me to be lifted up, He gave me some opposition. Well, let's say it. Let's read it like he said it. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Some difficulty. You like difficulty? Most of us really don't. But there was a purpose that came along with this. It came along with the love of God trying to preserve him. Now, this is, again, the grace of God. It just is. God cares for you and I. So he was dealing now with this, and he said, the thorn in the flesh, is it a messenger of Satan to buffet me? There has been a lot of conjecture of what this thorn in the flesh, what this messenger of Satan must have been. And there's been a lot of guesses, a lot of hypotheses, and probably one of those is right. I'm not going to tell you which one is because I don't know. I have some ideas of my own, but I can tell you whatever the Lord allows you and I to have in life to try to keep us humble, whatever we're struggling with, the Lord cares enough about where we are to deal with us. Now, so when you are going through some thorns, some difficulties, please don't just say, Lord, this is the devil. It may seem like a messenger from Satan, but the Lord is actually working through this for our good if we'll let Him. All right, how did Paul deal with this? It was hard for him. Believe me, these things aren't easy. They're difficult. But it causes us to get down and begin to search. He said three times he besought the Lord to take it from him. Lord, I'm tired of it. This is really bothersome. This is how typically we do it. We get down and we earnestly pray, Lord, I'm tired of this. This is really wearing on my spirit. I'm really struggling with this. And we feel like we prayed through and given this to the Lord. And then we wait and hope for it to be different. Wait for the, thank you. We ask the Lord, we expect there to be a change. And it didn't change. And it just kind of almost compounds and builds up again to a head. And I said, Lord, I'm tired. Lord, please, this is really hindering. It's hindering my ministry. I feel like, Lord, it's really, please, don't you see, Lord, we need this out of the way. And go and you pray and pray and then leave it in the hands of the Lord. And that's a good thing to do. Left in the hands of the Lord and hopefully expecting that it's good. It didn't change. It happened again. Built again to the head, the situation, just till it consumed. And, Lord. And then the Lord came and answered him. talked to him. Didn't remove the situation, did he? Didn't say, child, I see you're really struggling and you're just going, I'm going to miraculously, I'm going to say, peace, be still. Didn't happen that way. He didn't say, child, just get out of that boat and walk. He didn't walk on the water on this one. It was different. My grace is enough. I've got grace for you, child. I see in the wisdom and through the love that I really have for your soul, my child, that this is the proper route for you to go. And in taking this route, you're going to find something very sweet in my grace. He found it. You know why I know he found it? Because of the words he said later. Listen. He didn't say, well, the Lord just said, my grace is sufficient for thee. He came to the place and said, most gladly, therefore. He found a place of overcoming grace. He was able to deal with the hard places in his life. Perhaps there were people that he had trusted before that he couldn't trust anymore, that had buffeted him, had slapped him around. I don't know. There's all kinds of things that we face in life. And you know, some things are very painful when I put trust or faith in a brother and somehow that has been damaged. It's a very difficult place. God has grace for you. Perhaps we have expectations of each other, sometimes beyond what we really should have, but yet God wants us to be able to have expectations and confidence in one. Please cultivate that confidence in each other. God wants that. But sometimes things happen. And in those times of great disappointments, the Lord still has a place of grace for you and I to run into and find a safety, find a place of courage, find a place of protection. And it's not by saying, removing the situation and saying, peace be still. That's not what He always says. But He says, there's my grace. It's plenty. There's enough force, there's enough power in what I have for you to keep you through what you're going through. I like that. Because the Lord, in His infinite wisdom, knows exactly what we need to make heaven. Brother Paul said, my grace is, the Lord told him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That doesn't mean weakness of God, because God's not weak. But my strength is made perfect in you quitting, you laying down your. Well, let me say it this way. Actually, it's made in me recognizing my limitations and learning how to lean on my Lord. That's where the strength is truly made. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. You see, when I come to the place of saying, Lord, it's beyond me. Wasn't there a king one time? You remember? The great armies was coming again. They gathered to come against him. It looked like overwhelming numbers. How do I face this? It's beyond me, Lord. And he said, you look at the letter they've sent. Look at this, Lord. Spread it out. And you remember what he said? It's beyond us. We don't know what to do with this great number. We don't know how to handle this one, Lord. But he said, we've got one thing in mind. I'm looking at you. I need help. My eyes are fixed on you. And I'm going to sit here with my eyes on you until you tell me what to do. I'm resolved. Don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I'm looking at you, Lord. You know what the Lord told him to do? It's terrible military strategy. He said, get your singers out there in the front of the battle. That makes no sense as a military man. And it said, how would you feel like as your special singer that day? Would you like your job? He said, when they got out there and began to praise the holiness of God, they began to praise how great their Lord was. He said, the Lord Himself began to set ambushments before. And they began to fight each other until they were all gone. You read it. It's over there. And the job they had after that lasted 3 days. And you know what the job was? Carrying away the spoil that the Lord gave them. My grace is enough. He has the ability to take us through the hard places. And it's not in my prowess. It's not in my ability to mechanically or militarily or find some way to, if I can think hard enough and have a stratagem that's not the way it's done. My eyes are on You because I need You, Lord. I have faced my limit, and about this time the Lord said, I'm glad You recognize that, because my strength is made perfect when You come leaning on me. My strength is made perfect in Your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmity. What He's saying, in my limitations, my inabilities, it's not that we don't glory in saying, well, I'm just little around. No, Lord, let the weak say I'm strong in God. Don't try to say, well, I just have no ability. No, the Lord gave you some ability. But recognize you're limited. Recognize that at the end of your day, you're leaning on the Lord. God wants us to have some courage. When David went out against the lion, there were some things the Lord had built up in his life. There were some confidences that he had in the Lord that lent courage to him. He was a stripling, but he had some experiences with the Lord that he was able to put to use in this battle. When everybody else was shaking around him, David said, I faced things like this. Done it. And I've known at the end of the day, it wasn't me. The Lord delivered the bear into my hand. And the Lord, this is just like one of those. He's done it before. He'll do it again. And if He does it, there's a cause worth more than my life. I'm laying it down. Isn't there a cause? You see, God wants to strengthen us and get us to a place, not a cowering place, but He does want us to have a place of strength of dependence in Him. If you understand that, there's a place that we can stand up with what the Lord has given us with a certain amount of confidence, but also realize that I'm really resting on You. And in that place, the Lord's strength is made strong. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of God, of Christ, may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Oh, Lord, help us. Everybody feel like you're there today? We all feel like, I'm not going to, please don't answer right now. But I'm going to put this thought in the question. Do you feel like that you can say along with Paul today that you're taking pleasure in your infirmity? I'll just answer for me. I don't think I'm there for it. But I want to be there. I want to be that place to that place. The Lord, the infirmity, the place I want to learn to lean. Oh, this is a very dangerous to play. But we do want to learn to lean on the Lord. And in doing so many times, the Lord allows us to go through difficult places. But the end of that, we begin to see the great sufficiency of the grace of God. The great strength and the ability to take us through it all in this congregation, in all of our lives, in our neighbor's life. God wants to show Himself strong. That's His desire. That's the reason why Jesus came. That's the reason why the cross, the sacrifice was hung on the cross, that He might deliver people, set right things in people's lives, change lives, cause people to stand up with grace and strength, and portray to the world, God is able. To the drug addict, to the broken homes, all the different places of damage in people's lives in this world, He needs you and I to be able to find a place of sufficiency in Christ. That people can see what God does in our lives, and they gravitate to it like a moth would to light. They see something. There's hope there. And surely there is. And when I hear people who say that the Lord saved them when they were young and able, still this day, to testify to the grace of God, I rejoice, because that says the God, the great God of grace, is yet able. And yes, I'm happy when I hear people say how the Lord dug them out of deep sin and how the mire, the God, the great God of grace is able to reach and save to the uttermost. That is true. But He's also able to keep us from all those things. I want to encourage you today, Lord, help us take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecutions, distresses for Christ's sake. All these are difficult, not something we really go out after, but the Lord wants to bring us to a place of resting in Him. That our, when it's all said and done, no matter what comes my way, my eyes are still on You, Lord. Therefore, latter part of that verse says, "For when I am weak, then am I strong." I want to encourage us today. I want to, somehow, I hope, as we go through life, that we will feel and recognize the great love that God has for us and what He's wanting to do for every one of us. Don't feel when you're going through struggles or emotional, however the devil comes to try to cast you down, learn this place of turning our face intentionally toward the Lord. Say, "Lord, I want to find power. I want to find grace. I don't want to be locked in this place of depression, this place of discouragement." The devil would love to discourage us to the place that we are crippled. And the Lord wants to make our feet like hinds' feet. He wants us to be able to have some days that we leap upon the mountain and say, "Thank You, Lord, for the victory this day." And come to the place that after a while, we'll keep on consistently through it. The days turn into years and the years turn into older times. And I look back and say, "I can see far down the mountain. I look back and see how the wide arms of mercy have held me. I can see far down the mountain where I used to wander, but I can see how the Spirit has led without fail, has led to the land that I hold today." God has that for us. I hope you can catch the hope that's in what we... "My grace is sufficient for thee." God has power to take you, and I don't know where you are today. Perhaps the devil, he can get some people in a place to feel like, "I just won't ever get past this place." That's not the will of God. God wants to help you get past it. God has salvation. He has help. And He'll look at you, and we can struggle with something and say, "I can never get over this moment." And perhaps there might be some situations that the Lord will still allow you to go through, but He's got grace. And Paul came to the place, he said, "Most gladly, I found a place in the Lord. I found a refuge now from every trouble. Joy everlasting and peace." And that didn't mean the trouble always disappeared. But I found a refuge. Found a place in the Lord. "My grace is sufficient for thee." I hope somehow this morning that hope is built within our bosom. And there we hear the call of our loving Heavenly Father. It says, "I've got a place for you. Come into My arms, child. I want to lead you to heaven. Pray for me. I want to serve Him."